Abram's response to the revelation of El Shaddai. It says, Abraham fell face down. I love that. You know, sometimes that's the only proper response, right?
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. This is your host, Joshua Halleck, here with Pastor Mark Job from New Life Community Church. Pastor Mark, the series we're in here has been powerful. It's called Don't Stop Believing, The Life of Abraham. And today's message is a new future requires a new identity. What do you mean by that?
You know, sometimes we have to start to embrace the new identity that God has given us to step into the new future that He has for us. God had to change Abraham's name, and some of you know his name was Abram, to Abraham. I believe that God has a plan and a future for all of us, but sometimes before we step into it, we have to start seeing ourselves in a different way. And I see God doing that with Abraham, changing the view of himself so he can step into what it means to be a father of a great nation.
That's powerful. That's powerful. A lot of times I'll meet somebody, I'll say, what's your name? And they'll tell me, I'll say, what does it mean? And they say, I don't know. I have no idea. There's something powerful about a name, something powerful about the way you see yourself. And God doesn't just call us to a new future or a new reality, but he gives us a new identity.
I speak with men all the time that are stepping into fatherhood. I just had a conversation with a fella just yesterday who is expecting a baby, his first baby. And we had a conversation about this is how you need to see yourself. And he was struggling whether he would be a good father or whether he could step into that role. And I just had to speak life into him. Hey, this is, I believe you can be an awesome father. This is, you have to change your image of who you have been to who you are in order to embrace who you will become.
That's so powerful. It's not just, I'm going to act different, do these five things. It's at the core of who we are. And God does that for Abraham, and he does that for us. And this message is titled, A New Future Requires a New Identity, Genesis chapter 17. Let's get into the Word.
You know, identity is an interesting thing, isn't it? When someone doesn't know exactly who they are, if they're going through a transition time, we say, hey, this person's going through an identity crisis. If you had your credit card number stolen or your social security number stolen and someone's charging up bills, we call it identity theft. I heard of a guy not too long ago who someone robbed his charge card and he didn't report it to the police. And his friend said, hey, why didn't you report it to the police? Someone robbed your wife's credit card. He said, well, the thief is spending less than my wife was spending. So I'm... But identity is an important thing because identity is at the core of who we are. And if you go to, if a policeman stops you because you have violated a traffic law or are speeding, the first thing the policeman is going to ask you for is what? Identification, your driver's license. If you go to register your son or daughter at a new school, they will ask you for what? Identification. If you're going to take a trip and decide that you're going to fly over to Europe, what they ask you for is identification. If you use your credit card at some stores, they'll say, can I please see your ID? And typically they're asking for a driver's license or identification card. And I have my driver's license right here in my hand. And it tells you a few things about myself. It tells you my weight, 185 pounds. All solid muscle, just kidding. It tells you my height. It tells you the color of my eyes. It tells you the driver's license class that I have. It tells you my address. It'll tell you a few things about myself because it's an identification card. And what I've discovered is oftentimes before God is going to take us to the next level, the next phase in our life, as God points your eyes towards the future and say, let's go, Oftentimes, before he can take us into our new future, he has to redefine our current identity. In fact, I've discovered that a lot of us get stuck in a certain place because God can't take us further because we need to change our identity. God has to change the way we see ourselves. God has to change the way we look at ourselves before he can take us into this new future. And this is what Genesis chapter 17 is all about. And so I want to begin reading in Genesis chapter 17, begin reading in verse 1. It says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Well, let me update you a little bit on this passage. Between chapter 16 and chapter 17, the end of chapter 16, which is verse 16, and the beginning of chapter 17, verse 1, there's 13 years that have passed. When we end chapter 16, Abraham is 86 years old. And when we begin chapter 17, he's 99 years old. It's been 24 years since God first called Abram from Ur of the Chaldeans. 24 years ago, Abraham got a call. God appeared to Abraham and he said, Abraham, I want you to leave your family, your land, your father's household, and I want you to go to the place that I'm calling you to. I'm going to give you a promised land. I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. You don't know where you're going. I'm going to lead you by faith, but pull up and go. 24 years earlier, Abraham had taken a step of faith and had journeyed along, and it had taken him to the promised land, the land of Cana. And it's 24 years later, Abraham's 99 years old. And still the fulfillment of the promise that God has given him has not quite yet come. Hey, 24 years is a long time to wait. And so we pick it up here. God decides to reveal himself to Abraham one more time. And I want you to understand this. I want you to jot this point down. I believe that God has to do three things to change us so we can move into our future. The first thing I want you to jot down is this, is that God gives us a new identity, or that new identity helps us to step into our God-given role. So Abraham's 99 years old, God appears to him, and he says, I am God Almighty, it says in verse 1. Now in your English Bibles, God Almighty seems like a pretty normal way of God introducing himself, but if you look in the Hebrew text, you will realize that God has just introduced himself by a new name. He says, Abraham, I am El Shaddai. Well, Abraham had never heard God call himself El Shaddai. Well, what does El Shaddai mean? Well, El, the El in El Shaddai, speaks of God's power. It's derived from the root word of power. And the Shaddai in El Shaddai means he who is all sufficient. So when God says he is El Shaddai, what he's saying is, nothing is impossible for me because I am all powerful and all sufficient. I love that. God shows up to Abraham and say, hey, I am El Shaddai. I am the God who nothing is impossible for because I have all power and I am all sufficient. You see, here's the thing we need to know about God. Every time God is ready to prepare us for a new season in our life, oftentimes he reveals a new dimension of himself to us. You say, well, Pastor, I think I know God. Oh, no, you don't. Oh, you know something about God. But I can tell you that you could study theology 24 hours a day, and you could meditate and pray, and you could read the deepest writings on the attributes of God, and you could scour scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and you could pray, and you could fast, and you could meditate, and you will only know a portion, a small portion, a revelation of who God really is. Because your finite mind and my finite mind cannot grasp the immensity of all that God is. His eternal being, Him being sovereign and all-sufficient and omnipotent and omniscient, a God that has always existed and will always exist. You can never even begin to understand the depths of His love, the magnitude of His mercy. You can never understand really the immensity of His grace. And you could study God all your life and you would only in the end know a portion of God, that which He has chosen to reveal of Himself. I mean, isn't that true of just human relationships? On June 14th of this year, I will have been married to my wife 20 years. Wow, 20 years. Now that clap should be for her because she's put up for me with me for 20 years. And yeah, you're right. And here's what I've discovered after 20 years. After 20 years, I'm still getting to know my wife. I mean, I know her, but there's new dimensions of her and different aspects of her that I'm learning even after 20 years. And that's just in a human relationship. Just imagine the amount of God that we don't know. And I believe that God reveals aspects of himself depending on whatever season of life we're going into. For example, some of you, when you first came to Christ, all you knew is that God was love. I mean, you needed to know that He loved you. You needed to know that He cared. What you needed to know most, that He wasn't a far-out God there that doesn't care, that's busy putting the stars in the universe and orchestrating and trying to solve the problems in Ethiopia and managing wars in Iraq. I mean, you needed to know that God knew your name. You needed to know that He cared about you. You needed to know that He saw your tears, that He knew you intimately, and that God cared about you. And so it was a revelation of His love and of His mercy and of His grace. But maybe later on you learn that God is also holy, and that the angels fly around His throne day and night and say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. All the earth is full of His glory." And maybe later on you learned about His glory. And maybe you've learned about His judgment. And you learned about His wisdom. And God has revealed different aspects of Himself depending on your season of life. Abram was about to go into a season of life in which he needed to know that nothing, absolutely nothing, would be impossible for God. So he needed a revelation of not Jehovah Rapha the healer, not Jehovah Jireh the provider. He needed a revelation of El Shaddai, the God to whom nothing is impossible for, who has all power and is all sufficient.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk message called A New Future Requires a New Identity, which is from Pastor Mark's new series called Don't Stop Believing, The Power of Relentless Faith. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Genesis, chapter 17. Our message is called A New Future Requires a New Identity.
So he appears to Abraham at 99 years old. I am El Shaddai. He says, "Walk before me and be blameless." In other words, this doesn't mean perfection, but it means that walk worthy of the call. Verse 2, "I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." I love this. Abram's response to the revelation of El Shaddai, it says, Abraham fell face down. I love that. You know, sometimes that's the only proper response, right? I run into individuals sometimes, they say, "Well, when I get to heaven, I got a list of questions I'm going to ask God. And I'm going to say, God, questions like, hey, did Adam have a belly button? I mean, he was never really born, the no umbilical cord. Did he have a belly button? And I want to ask God, hey, God, why did Peter cut off the guy's ear? I mean, what was that all about, God? And hey, I got all kinds of questions about equality and poverty and why bad things happen to me. And I'm going to spend the first 10 years just asking God questions. Hey, can I give you just a flash of revelation? No, you're not. When you see God, you know what? You're probably going to respond like Abraham. You may spend the first 10 years on your face before God Almighty, proclaiming how great and how holy He is. Abraham fell down, face down. And God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you." What's a covenant? Covenant is a promise relationship. It's a promise that's given in a relationship, like a marriage covenant. "This is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations." Well, Abraham already knew that. God knew he knew that, but he needed to be reminded of it. No longer, listen to this, I love verse 5. Because now he's introducing something really powerful. He says, "No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations." Well, how old was Abraham? 99 years old. God was changing the name of a man that was 99 years old. I mean, he had lived with this name for 99 years. He'd been called this when he was 5 years old and when he was 20. I mean, he had little embroidery in his tunic that say Abram. He had business cards that said Abram. I mean, people knew him in the community as Abram. His neighbors called him Abram. His servants called him Abram. Sarah said Abram. I mean, everybody knew his name was Abram. He's 99 years old, and God says, "I'm about to change your name." Now why? Why does God want to change this guy's name? Oh, because you see, God wants Abram to see himself in a different way. He's changing the core of his identity as he takes him into a new future. Wow, I wish I could preach that this morning. You see, I believe that oftentimes that God was saying to Abram, "Hey, the way you are and the way you see yourself, you're not going to walk into your God-given future. You need to begin to see yourself in a whole new way. You need a new identity." Now, Abram meant exalted father. That's a good name. Hey, he's a good man. He's an exalted father. This guy is a great man. He's a good businessman. God said, "No, the new future that I have to you is different, though. You're not just going to be a great father. You're going to be the father of a great nation. Your identity is going to define your purpose." And so from this day on, every time you wake up in the morning, you're going to say to yourself, "My name is now father of a great nation." When you introduce yourself to a stranger, they're going to say, "Hi, my name is Tom. What's your name, father of a great nation?" When your son says, "Papa Abraham," he's going to say, "Papa, father of a great nation." When your wife says, "Hey, it's time for dinner, father of a great nation, time to eat." When your servants call your name, it's father of a great nation. When you sign the document, it's going to be father of a great nation. Every day, you're going to speak your destiny. Every day, you're going to say it. Every day, you're going to hear it. Every day, you're going to ask other people to call you what your destiny is. Do you understand that? You see, I believe that faith works this way. You know, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, it says that we will be saved if we do two things. We have to believe in our heart, and the other thing that we have to do is what? Confess with what? With our mouth. So faith always involves two things. We believe in our heart, and we confess with our mouth. You see, if you believe it, you have to speak it. If you don't believe it enough to speak it, you probably don't believe it enough. Oh, let me pause for a second here. Because some of you have said, "Well, are you born again?" Or you say, "Well, yeah, kind of." Kind of? Yeah, well, you know, me and God, we did our own little thing, little prayer, little quiet prayer that we had. And you know, I've believed in my heart. In fact, you tell me, "I've always believed." Oh, really? Well, are you a Christian? Well, that's private. That's between me and God. I prayed my name. Me and the God upstairs, we got our thing going on. You know, we had this little deal. I believe, and he watches, and I throw a few little prayers up there. Well, have you ever publicly told people that you're a believer? Shh, no, that's private. Well, let me tell you something about that. That's like you saying, honey, I want to marry you. And she says, great, when's our wedding date? Well, we're not going to tell anybody. Well, what do you mean? Well, you know, this is just a heart thing. I love you, honey, but I'm not going to get up in front of a bunch of people and give you a ring and do all those vows because that's too public. I mean, this is our own little private thing going on, and you're going to kick them to the curb, right? You're going to say, hey, out of here, unless you marry me publicly. Hey, I don't want anything to do with you. It's the same with God. If you believe in your heart, then you have to believe enough to make a public stand sometime in your life and say, I believe in my heart, but I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, and I'm not ashamed of it. And see, what I think is that God was helping Abram declare his future every day, all the time. And some of you, God was trying to change his identity. God was trying to declare. God was trying to mold the identity of Abram so he would see himself in a different way. Hey, you know what? You all heard that Disney story of Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. Well, let me tell you what all the seven dwarves had in common. All the seven dwarves had in common is that none of them lived beyond their name. I mean, Dopey was always Dopey. Bashful was always bashful. Sleepy, he was always falling asleep. Grumpy was always grumpy. Happy was always happy. Guess what? They never lived beyond their name. Their name defined their identity. I mean, I never saw grumpy get ungrumpy. I never saw happy get sad. I never saw sleepy awake like he had just drank a Red Bull. I mean, I never saw that happen. And here's what I want to tell you. Some of you, what you have in common with the seven dwarves is that you have an identity that you've never lived beyond. Maybe you grew up and everybody in your family told you, hey, you're the black sheep of the family. And you knew growing up, hey, who are you? I'm the black sheep. So when everybody else was doing good grades, you were out there being rebellious. And when everybody else was getting their first job, you were doing the rebellious thing. You wanted to do what shocked people. Why? Because everybody said, well, they're the black sheep of the family. And you know what? You've had that identity ever since you've been small. You've looked at yourself and said, I'm the black sheep. And when you think about your future, you think, I'm the black sheep. It defines you. It determines who you are and how you behave. You dress that way, live that way, talk that way. That's your destiny. That's who you are. And you know what? You can never break out of that. And what God is saying to us is some of us, our identity is holding us in our past, and God has a new identity for our future. And in order to take us to that new identity, he's got to change our name. He's got to change the way we view ourselves. He's got to give us a new identity. Abram, your name is no longer Abram, your name is Abraham. And by the way, we don't see it in this verse, but later on in verse 15, God also says to Abraham that his wife's name will no longer be Sarai, but his wife's name will be Sarah, because that means a princess, and she will be the princess of a great nation. Never think for a moment, if you're married, that God just calls you, he also calls your spouse. Someone says, hey, Pastor, God's called me to Africa. Well, what's he told your wife? Oh, she's supposed to stay here. I'm supposed to go to Africa. No. You know, you're one. You're called together. His name was changed. Her name was changed. They're one together. You flow together as one to the destiny that God has called you to. Now, I want you to notice the second thing here. It's huge. The second thing is that not only does God begin to change our identity, but there's a new symbol that God gives us to remind us of our spiritual destiny. Destiny.
Join us again for the second half of this message called A New Future Requires a New Identity. As we continue on in our series, Don't Stop Believing, The Power of Relentless Faith. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, called Unstuck, is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. On behalf of Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself, thank you so much for listening. Please do join us again as we continue on in our series, Don't Stop Believing, with the second half of our message called A New Future Requires a New Identity. Have a great night. God bless.